This is the UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast.
Hello and welcome to the UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast. My name is David Maguire and I'm a senior officer in the UK FIU. Today's podcast is the first in a special series of podcasts focused on fraud. Fraud accounts for over 40% of all crime, and recent statistics have shown that 1 in 15 people are a victim of fraud. Now, to facilitate a coordinated response to tackling this problem, the National Crime Agency, the National Economic Crime Centre, or NEC for short, the Home Office, the National Cybersecurity Centre, and the City of London Police have developed a framework with core behaviours that the public can adopt to help protect against, recognise, report, and recover from fraud. This framework is based on insight from across the sectors, building upon existing guidance to create a streamlined, comprehensive approach. Now, to explain what this all means, I'm joined today by Jessica Kenny, a strategic engagement manager in the National Crime Agency. Jessica, welcome to the podcast. Can you explain to our listeners what exactly this fraud toolkit is and why it's been created?
Yeah, of course. So there are a wide range of businesses, charities, government departments working to tackle the fraud problem. And existing campaigns address a range of fraud typologies and they target numerous audiences, all of which have a core aim to essentially stop the public from becoming victims of fraud. The issue is that the fraud communications landscape is extremely crowded. There are 13 plus national campaigns vying for the public's attention, and this can limit the efficacy of individual campaigns and making it harder to deliver public behaviour change. So ensuring alignment between all of those who provide guidance on fraud should reduce the amount of conflicting advice that the public are subjected to. It should make it easier for them to recognise fraud and easier for them to implement core behaviours to protect themselves against fraud, report fraud and recover from fraud. And so to help facilitate a coordinated response, we've been working with the Home Office, with the National Cybersecurity Centre and the City of London Police to develop essentially a framework which has about 16 core behaviours the public can adopt to help protect themselves against, recognise, report and recover from fraud. And from this framework, we have developed this fraud communications toolkit. It's designed to provide communications professionals with support and direction on how to align counter fraud messaging. So it gives guidance on how a core selection of the behaviours in the framework can be communicated to the public, essentially. The messaging and guidance outlined in the toolkit has been developed through focus groups to ensure that the language used is the most impactful and effective language, so that it does encourage the public to adopt these behaviours. And the toolkit itself is aimed at organisations rather than the public itself. So it works behind the scenes with any organisation that has any form of public facing guidance on fraud, really, whether that be advice or guidance on their website, direct advice given to customers, or indeed through proactive communications and campaigns. And so the fraud communications toolkit ask, sort of our ask, is that these organisations seek to incorporate the messaging from the toolkit into any future campaigns, planning, website advice, any sort of communications really, to help ensure that the advice that's being given to their audience aligns with this core framework. And the more consistent, the more coherent we can all be in our fraud advice, in the guidance that we give, the more likely it is that members of the public will actually take the right steps to protect themselves against fraud and to report fraud. And that's essentially it. That's sort of what our fraud communications toolkit is trying to do.
Excellent. So you mentioned that this toolkit is focused on organisations as opposed to members of the public per se, but what are the core behaviours that you hope will be communicated to the public through this toolkit?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, the behaviour framework has about 16 different behaviours within it, which would be a lot to focus on for sort of one communications toolkit. So what we have done in collaboration with sort of the organisations I mentioned before is narrowed its focus down to sort of four core areas. The first core area is about protecting your accounts, within which there are sort of three core calls to action, I suppose, that we want to communicate to the public. So that's about using a strong and different password for your email and using three random words for that password. It's about using two-step verification where available to protect your email accounts. And it's about using a browser's password manager to safely store the passwords. So those sort of calls to action together will help the public protect their accounts, primarily their email account, which is really a gateway account to lots of other sort of online shopping accounts or various other accounts that they might use, such as social media accounts. The second behavior stream is about stopping and checking official contact routes, payments and practices. And so this is about the public, if they have any doubts about a message or a phone call, essentially persuading them to contact the organization directly to check. So using the contact details from the organization's official website or the back of your credit card, for example, and not using the numbers or email address that is in the suspicious email or message. The third stream is about reporting suspicious contact. So that is about reporting suspicious emails to the government suspicious email reporting service, catchy name, sort of the acronyms spell out SERS. And that email address is report@phishing.gov.uk. There's also a call to action about reporting suspicious texts. So that's to 7726, which is the free service where people can report suspicious text messages and scam call numbers. And that helps the provider find out where that text or call is coming from, and it helps them sort of block or ban the senders. And then there's also reporting suspicious adverts. So that's reporting to the Advertising Standards Authority, which might be about sort of products that are clearly false job advertisements, things like that. And then finally, the final sort of behavior area we're focusing on with this sort of first iteration of the communications toolkit is to report to Action Fraud or Police Scotland and your bank if you are a victim. So obviously, Action Fraud is really important in terms of reporting. It is the national sort of lead for reporting on fraud. And then obviously people need to report to their bank as well if there's any risk of money being moved around, which shouldn't be. So the toolkit sort of clearly outlines this guidance. And as we say, this is the guidance that we hope all organisations will have in their public facing messaging, along with the wording that we've got around these calls to action, which will help sort of give greater sense of consistency and coherence to what we're all saying.
So why is it so important to have consistent messaging on fraud? Because I would have thought all fraud or anti-fraud advice is good advice for protecting the public.
No, absolutely. I think sort of any good advice is better than no advice, but consistent messaging is really vital in the fight against fraud. Currently, the public are confronted with multiple and sometimes slightly conflicting messages, and this leads to the public not always knowing and doing the right things to protect themselves against fraud or to recognise it, report it or recover from it. And clear, consistent and specific messaging is key to supporting changing public behaviour. Behaviour change cannot occur if the public do not have a clear understanding of what it is that they need to do or the knowledge of what exactly they need to be doing. And so through aligning communications, you can provide the public with that knowledge, you can give them that understanding, give them that awareness, and that will influence them to adopt the right behaviours and take the steps to protect themselves and report fraud. If there is inconsistency, if there are conflicting messages, this means that it's much less likely that people are going to take the right steps, and essentially behavior change is really difficult unless there is consistency underlying sort of what people are being told to do.
Well, it all sounds like a really good idea. So what methods of communication have you found that the public respond to best when it comes to this kind of advice?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's one that has a very sort of broad answer. So I'll try and keep it as focused as possible. But as you can imagine, in communications, there are so many different channels or methods that can be used to communicate with the public, whether that be through digital channels, such as through online or social media, or more traditional channels like print or broadcasting, outdoor advertising, you know, billboards, bus stops, things like that. But really, the best method of communication or channel is the one that targets your audience, and different audiences interact more or less with different channels. And in terms of fraud specifically, there are just so many different audiences we are trying to reach, obviously across the whole of the UK public, really. And fraud being such a broad and far-reaching crime means that there are lots of different types of fraud. So investment fraud, courier fraud, identity fraud, payment diversion fraud, just to name a few. And because of that breadth of the crime itself, it has such a wide potential and actual victim base, with, I mean, most UK adults having been targeted by a fraudster within the last year. So when it comes to sort of more general protect messaging that's relevant for most, if not all of us in the public, a multi-channel sort of multi-method approach may be best, given the communications or campaign would be trying to reach multiple demographics or audience types. So people who interact more with social media or people who interact more with TV advertisements, you need to be able to try and hit all of those people, as it were. But if a piece of communication or a campaign had a narrower focus on a particular type of fraud, then that channel would be determined by looking at that target audience for that message and then looking at where they spend their time, so that you can understand what the best channel to use is. So as a quick example, if we were wanting to communicate protect advice to someone on romance fraud, we'd first want to understand what the target audience is. So we'd want to work out who is most vulnerable to romance fraud. We'd potentially look at the overarching demographic of the victims of romance fraud, and maybe also look at where this type of fraud occurs. So, for example, that might be on dating apps or sites. So then, by understanding who that target audience is and where they're spending their time, you can then work out what channels are best to use, whether that be sort of traditional or digital media. And I suppose whatever the means of communication, and I forgive me, I keep coming back to this point, but the core messaging needs to be clear and understandable. So communications approaches tend to be most successful when the message is simple and consistent, and clearly that's the case here with fraud.
Thank you. So you mentioned initially this is going to be going to organisations to kind of push these messages out. What kind of sectors are we looking at here? Are we looking at like law enforcement, private sector, that kind of thing?
So yeah, the toolkit is really relevant for all sectors. Any organisation that has public facing guidance and communications on fraud, whether that be law enforcement, public sector, private and non-profit sectors. And across all sectors, different organisations will have different types of fraud messaging, different types of fraud focus. And whether an organisation is a charity providing occasional advice on fraud, or perhaps a large financial services institution with a huge sort of fraud campaign, the toolkit is relevant. As mentioned earlier, it's vital that the public are receiving clear and coherent messaging. So we need organisations across all sectors that interact with every aspect of our lives to be saying the same thing, to help us all to not become victims of fraud.
So what do you think will be the biggest motivator in prompting widespread behavioural change in, you know, protecting the public?
So motivation is absolutely vital in any behaviour change. And as with any behaviour change, motivation will vary from person to person somewhat. However, from existing research and through the research we undertook to develop this toolkit, actually, there are some underlying motivating factors that might be key in influencing behaviour change around fraud. So underpinning much of the research to date, there seems to be a sense that people are more likely to adopt behaviours to protect themselves against fraud and report fraud for the purpose of protecting others. So through the focus group research we undertook while developing this toolkit, we found that people helping others to keep safe from fraud was a powerful motivator for taking those actions to protect themselves, and also in encouraging others to do the same. And when it comes to reporting fraud, protecting others seems to be a key motivator here too, alongside helping to tackle the perpetrators of it, but really it's about sort of protecting other people in the community. And in fact, research also found that a strong motivator for people is the thought of fighting criminals together. So it is that sense of community in the fight against fraud, which can lead to people being more likely to adopt certain behaviours. So creating a sense of collective action against the crime and against the criminals may help influence behaviour change adoption also. So really, it's quite a nice sign in a way that one of the biggest motivators for many of us is about helping others. And I think that's something that through communications, we can really sort of not take advantage of, but we can sort of work with to help make sure that people are taking the right steps when it comes to stopping becoming victims of fraud.
And lastly, when will this toolkit be launched?
So the toolkit, there's no sort of firm launch on the toolkit, because as mentioned before, it's not a public facing document itself. At the moment, we are having sort of one-to-one conversations with lots of different organisations across all sectors that have some sort of fraud communications. And we will be sending this toolkit out to communications professionals across law enforcement, public, private and not-for-profit sectors across the next couple of months, so across sort of February, March and April. And we at sort of the National Crime Agency in our strategic communications team are happy to speak to any organisation that is interested in receiving the toolkit, having a conversation about the toolkit and understanding a little bit more about what we're trying to do. So should any organisation not receive it in sort of the first batch of people that we're sending it to, don't worry, it's probably coming your way. But if not, we're obviously really open to people proactively getting in touch with us.
Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of the UKFIU podcast. I'd like to thank Jessica for her input there. And I guess the bottom line to take away from all this is that by using this framework, which we've discussed, we'll be coordinating a consistent and comprehensive response to fraud, empowering the public to protect themselves and to act appropriately if they are targeted. As I mentioned in the introduction, there will be other podcasts looking at fraud to follow. We'll be looking at money mules, and there'll also be another podcast on an intensification of activity to tackle fraud across law enforcement, and that's led by the National Economic Crime Centre. As with these podcasts, the magazines and other UKFIU guidance products, all of these will be announced on the UKFIU's Twitter and LinkedIn pages, so I would urge you to follow us on there if you don't already. Thank you for listening. I've been David Maguire, and this has been a UKFIU podcast.
This is the UK Financial Intelligence Unit podcast.